With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks for being with us, everybody. It is a Target Demo Friday, so let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, and we will read through those coming up here later on in the program. 1 hour from now, the memories of March continue. The NCAA tournament, this would have been Final Four weekend, and so we'll go back 17 years ago as the Syracuse Orange men ended up winning their only national championship ever in basketball. Jim Boeheim, Carmelo Anthony, and Jerry McNamara. G-Mac, now an assistant coach under Boeheim, is going to join us coming up here on the show 1 hour from now for the memories of March. Coming up in about 20 minutes from now, we are stunned to a news. And in 40 minutes, has everything flipped to the negative in Boston sports? That is coming up this hour and this morning on a Target Demo Friday. But first, in the AFC East, with Tom Brady leaving the New England Patriots, does that make the Bills now the favorites in the division? Well, their brass trying to distance themselves from that idea. We know that the Bills have been kind of knocking on the door the last couple of years. We know the Bills have made the playoffs a couple of times over the last 3 years. But Bills GM Brandon Bean wants to pump the brakes, as Mraz might say, on the expectation that they would win the division. Bean said the team to beat is the East, in the East is the Patriots. Until somebody beats them, they're the team to beat. As long as Bill Belichick's there, you're talking about probably the greatest head coach of all time that was paired with the greatest quarterback of all time. So until we beat them, we've done nothing. We've got our work cut out for us. I like this attitude. I think the Bills can't just swagger into the season and act as though they are the champs, that they are the dominant team, that they are the alpha dogs. I don't mind confidence, and the Bills should have some confidence. They were this close to winning a playoff game last year on the road and playing in divisional round weekend. It made the postseason 2 out of the last 3 years. Clearly under Sean McDermott and the leadership of that front office, the Bills have turned a corner into a very reputable and strong organization with a very good defense. But I think that it's smart for the Bills not to take anything for granted, because you still have the hoodie on the other sideline in that division. 16 games, 2 against you, and there ain't no guarantees after Belichick has gone 11-5 with Matt Castle and 3-1 in the month that Brady was suspended for Deflategate. There ain't no guarantees that he can't figure out a way to MacGyver this thing to another 10 or 11 win season and that you don't win the division. So I appreciate the humility here and not putting the cart before the horse. However, when Bean says, quote, "It's probably disappointing as I sit here in my time that we didn't beat Tom Brady. You always want to take down the best, to go back and forth. when Bean acts as though he's disappointed Brady left because Bean was 0-6 in the last 3 years against the Patriots, I got to say, Mraz, that part, I'm not buying. I don't think anybody in that division is sad to see Brady go because they're like, damn it, I wanted to win this division when Brady was here. I think they all know this opens up the door and levels the playing field in the AFC East.
Sad to see him go. What a disservice that is to all your fans that for 20 years, if you're a Dolphin, Bills, and Jets fan, now say what you want about their quarterback situations being terrible. This is the offseason and the year you have been waiting for. How many of these teams and families are salivating to get in the parking lot to be able to tailgate before a home playoff game? They haven't had that opportunity outside of the wildcat year of the Miami Dolphins to do this. This isn't was sad to see him go. Pop them bottles. Spread that champagne around. Let's go.
Do you think that there's a part of his competitive streak, though, that says, you know what, I wanted to beat them when they had Tom Brady?
No, because you know what? You've had long enough. I know he wasn't the general manager forever, but I'm sure everybody wants to have that happen. But when it doesn't and it's over and he's moved on, there is a sigh of relief. There's not one ounce of you that has that competitive, oh, this stinks. I really wanted to do this. It's, well, now we have no excuse. Now we better go do it. If anything, it should fire up your competitive juices.
Undoubtedly, it levels the playing field here because if the Patriots are going in there with Jared Stidham, and both you and I agree that Tom Brady wasn't normal Tom Brady last year, and that the Patriots, you know, the people that say that Brady, it was all everybody else's fault, not Brady's, are sadly mistaken. But no doubt Brady leaving Stidham in definitely brings them back to the pack, and I would say should give a lot of hope to the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets that for the first time in 20 years, don't you think, hey, we've got a realistic belief when we open up the season in September, that we have as good a shot as the Patriots do of winning the division. That's fair, isn't it?
And I'm glad you brought up the Dolphins and Jets, because while the Bills might have been that other playoff team, and they've made the playoffs two of the last 3 years, and Josh Allen, say what you want to say, I'm sure he, you know, he had his moments he'd like back in that wild card playoff loss, but yeah, I mean, as big as the Bills have been there, what is the Jets' excuse? The Jets were supposed to be really good last year, and then Sam Darnold got mono, and everything kind of fell off a cliff. Well, they still have a pretty good roster, and the Miami Dolphins have all these first-round picks. Maybe they get their quarterback of the future. I'm not expecting them to go win a division right now, but they've spent a little money in free agency. The ultimate gap has been closed, because no matter any way you spin this Patriot thing, if Jared Stidham is their quarterback, expecting the Pats to be as good as 12-4 or 11-5 to me is cocky pop. I think you have to expect even a good Bill Belichick team. I mean, you differ where I think the Patriots will be in hailing distance to be able to trade up for that number one pick. We've gone over this a million times, but what really is the ceiling on regular season record for the New England Patriots? To me, it's 10 wins. If you as a Bills or a Jets, and if you want to put the Dolphins a little behind that, can't find a way in this division where now it's not an automatic two losses versus the Pats to get in a spot where you're in that 9-10 win range and be right there with the Pats, who at best are that, then I don't know what to say about the way you've made up your roster.
I think that the Patriots and the Bills are neck and neck. I think they're both one in the same in many ways in terms of their potential, how many wins they could have, what type of team they could have. I think the Jets might be a sliver under that, and I think the Dolphins are the team that I would buy the most stock in this division for the next 5 to 7 years. I thought that last year what Flores was able to do with a roster that was ripped apart and left for dead, the fact that he squeezed the wind that he did out of that team, the fact that he had them fighting in Week 17 and beating the Patriots in Foxborough, the fact that that team responded to him when it seemed all was lost and they were getting absolutely destroyed in the first month of the season, the fact that they brought back Ryan Fitzpatrick to hold the line until whatever young quarterback comes in that they draft, I think the Dolphins, with how they've ripped it up, started over, and hired Flores, are the long-term best play in this division. And I love McDermott, but I don't love Josh Allen. To me, if I'm going to buy stock in the next 5 to 7 in this division, it's the Dolphins.
I'm buying on the Jets more than the Dolphins right now, because I've seen the Ryan Fitzpatrick situation first year with a new team before. The Dolphins were way spunkier and won way more games than we thought, and that Week 17 deal was. But every time Ryan Fitzpatrick's been in the first year of a new spot, he always has big wins. The team is way more competitive.
But I'm talking about 5 years from now.
You're right, right. But I think you're basing a lot of what you're seeing for the next 5 years off of what you saw last year. And my point is, I'm wiping the slate clean of last year. As good a coach as Flores might have been, this is a major turnover. All the first-round picks they have now, what you saw last year, I think is going to have a little basis over what happens over the next 5 years. I need to see who they get as the quarterback, which is why I know the Bills and Jets have who I deem to be pretty good quarterbacks. I don't know exactly what their ceiling is, but I think both guys will be in their spots for a long period of time. And until I know who that guy is the Dolphins have, I can't buy my stock in the next 5 years on them over the Bills or Jets.
Let's play over under here for win total for the Patriots. If I said 10.5 is the over under,
I'm going under.
I think I would go under too at 10-6. If I gave you 9.5,
I'm laying off of it. Huh. You asking me I have to make a pick, or like you're pretending I'm in Vegas?
I'm pretending you're in Vegas.
If I'm pretending I'm in Vegas, okay. I think I pull the trigger and I probably get better. I will bet the under.
On 9.5 wins?
Yeah. My gut tells me the Patriots are 8-8, 9-7 this year.
Wow, that's interesting. My gut tells me that they're better than 9.5 wins, but I don't think much better. So I think that their ceiling, everything breaks correctly for them. Everything goes great. Now, I don't know about their schedule. We don't have the schedules out yet, but I feel like everything breaks greatly for them, that it's 11-5, but more than likely it's a 10-6. But, I mean, is it possible? I mean, if they are looking to draft Trevor Lawrence in 2021, as you believe, then they can't be 9-7. Then they need to be more like 7-9, 8-8 to be within a realistic distance right of trying to trade up.
Right, I think 8-8 is a good number there. I think, again, we lose sight of last year with the Patriots. Their defense was excellent through the first half of the year, but I don't have the time now to go through it. But if you rolled through all the quarterbacks they faced, there was kind of a little bit of a, well, how good are they really? And then every time, as you've noted, that they played a first-place team in the AFC, they completely spit the bit. So I question really how good the defense actually was. They've lost some pieces to that defense, including a Kyle Van Noy. They haven't exactly upgraded all of their offensive weapons that everybody thought was a big problem. And if Tom Brady, who everyone still threw bouquets at, couldn't get the most out of those guys, what is Jared Stidham getting out of those guys? So, yes, Bill Belichick has to account for a lot more wins than you would normally expect. But let's just call it as it is. The Patriots roster is not that good. I mean, the Patriots roster could end up on opening day having actually the worst talent in the AFC East. It's a question of they just have so much more of an elite coaching advantage that gets the most out of those guys. So when I factor all that stuff in, that's where I see the Patriots taking a major another step back. And I think that 8-8 range is right where you want them. Although, again, I'm kind of a hypocrite because if I actually had the money and I was actually in Vegas and I saw 9.5 on the board, I probably still would lay off because Belichick scares the heck out of me.
Let's go over the quarterbacks that the Patriots defense beat last year. Week number one, that was the opening night against Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. Roethlisberger quickly was done for the season. So they beat Roethlisberger done for the day. Then they thrashed the Dolphins with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think that was a Fitzpatrick led game, right? That wasn't a Rosen game. That was a Fitzpatrick game.
I'm pretty sure that might have led to Rosen getting the job.
Week three was the Jets minus Darnold. I don't think that was a Luke Falk game.
I think it was a Luke Falk game. Yes, Trevor Siemian. Week two was the Cleveland game where Siemian got hurt on Monday night, so it was a Luke Falk game.
Oh,
Luke Falk
right.
was atrocious in that game, and I think the Jets were actually kind of competitive in the fourth quarter, if I remember correctly.
Then they were at the Bills, and that was the game Josh Allen got knocked out of on the dirty hit.
Yep.
So they beat a Josh Allen-less Bills team 16-10. Then they were in Washington before Haskins, so I forget who was the starting quarterback.
Case Keenum.
That was a Case Keenum game. Yikes. Then they beat the Giants with Daniel Jones.
That ugly, windy Thursday night game, yes.
Then they beat the Jets again. I think Darnold is back for that game.
Oh, was he back by then?
Maybe not. They beat him 33-0. It might have been a Luke Falk game.
Yes.
Then they beat the Browns with a Baker Mazel.
Yeah, who was terrible last year.
So at this point in time, they are 8-0, and their best win is week one against the Steelers, when Roethlisberger has no Le'Veon Bell, no Antonio Brown, and is basically going to be shelved for the season. Then they lose to Lamar Jackson. Then they beat the Eagles 17-10, so they beat Carson Wentz. They then beat the Cowboys on that miserable, misty Sunday with Dak. Then they lose to Deshaun. They lose to Mahomes. They then beat the Bengals in that controversial week after when they were spying on the Bengals again. So they beat, that wasn't a Dalton, right?
Who the heck played quarterback? The Bengals had another random quarterback.
Was
in
that
there.
A Jeff Driscoll Bengals team?
Was that the guy they drafted last year? There was a random Bengal quarterback last year that I already forgot that they drafted. Was Jeff Driscoll that? Ryan Finley?
No, it was a Dalton day. It was a Dalton
day. Oh, it was.
Day.
Okay.
But Dalton only threw 151 yards and four interceptions in that game.
And remember, he can't get a job right now either. So let's, before we credit Dalton.
Dalton threw for four picks and a .151 in that loss to the Patriots.
And
then they beat the Bills and the Dolphins. Well, they play the Bills and the Dolphins. They beat the Bills, lose to the Dolphins in week 17. So your murderer's row of quarterbacks that the Patriots defense beat last year was Baker Mazel, coached by Bubba, and Roethlisberger before he got shut down.
Right.
And
Wentz. Wentz and Dak, if you believe in Dak. But that was a really bad, you know, stormy day, too, in New England. So yeah, they didn't exactly light it up. And when they faced Watson and Mahomes and guys of that ilk, look, the defense wilted. So a defense that's losing pieces, how can I suddenly think, you know what, this New England defense, they're going to be dominant. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is for the Patriots next year. By default, they're going to take a step back. They are going to take a step back.
Okay, does that mean, though, that the Bills are the favorites? This comes back to our original question here. Billy Beane, who is the GM of the Bills, says, we're not the favorites. The Patriots are the favorites going forward until proven otherwise. Who are the Vegas favorites to win the division?
If I am at the casinos in Vegas controlling this and I'm making the odds, I believe the Bills are the favorites to win the AFC East, yes.
I think so, too, by a very slight margin. And I'm not a big Josh Allen guy. I'm not a big Josh Allen guy, but I would make them the favorite by a very slim margin over the Patriots. I would say, I mean, I don't trust Adam Gase at all, but I guess you have to put the Jets at number three because we don't know how many rookies will play this year, what rookie quarterback might play this year for the Dolphins. So I think the odds should be Bills 1, Patriots 2, Jets 3, Dolphins 4.
Yes, and if you really want to really get technical, the fact that this year there looks like there will be no OTAs, who knows how shortened training camp might be with everything we're going through as a country to start this season on time. The continuity of Josh Allen as the starting quarterback, Sean McDermott, the head coach, a lot of the Bills' weapons in place. There's something to be said there. I mean, Jarrett Stidham's going to have less work this offseason getting ready to be a starting quarterback, so that could play a role as well. I have to go Bills' favorites to win the AFC East.
When we come back, we are stunned to a news, and the DA show Mothership at the Movies segment has chosen its next two films, so you can watch and play along with us. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the show about the show. Here's the best of this week's Permission Granted podcast.
When you think about WrestleMania, you don't know if SummerSlam's going to be affected or if the other pay-per-views coming up. Are they going to even have time to do a WrestleMania where it makes sense? Are we going to be starting up things in September? We don't know.
You couldn't drag out the WrestleMania things for weeks to come. Whenever that first show is that they have, when we all come back, that's the real WrestleMania.
Oh, it's going to be huge.
That's going to be a huge show.
Find the PGP every week on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else podcasts are downloaded.
I'm proud of us this week because we have given you guys as much content as can humanly be consumed these days in the middle of quarantine era America. We've got the full hours of the DA show for four full hours every single day, minus commercial interruption. We've got the best of every single day. We also have the PGP, the show about the show going behind the scenes of the show. And Pete the Body Bilotti anchors a very special edition of a bonus PGP previewing WrestleMania tomorrow and Sunday. That's available right now. So if you're a wrestling fan, Check it out by going to the DA Show's podcast feed. All places podcasts are downloaded. That includes Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio.com, and other places. You can get the PGP special edition this week, a WrestleMania preview co-hosted by Pete the Body Bilotti. And our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. On Twitter, DA on CBS is the handle. John tweets, only Mraz can get you to go from shaking your head because he can't say anomaly to being amazed at his genius for giving rooms in his house nicknames. It really is the synopsis of Mraz. There are moments that you go, nobody could be this stupid. And there are moments that you go, how is that guy that smart? He could not pronounce anomaly early in the show. No chance. It was a lot of anomaly. And now...
Wait, how do you say it?
How do you say the word?
How do you say the word?
And then he drops this kind of genius nugget on us that to keep his head around quarantine, to make it feel fresh, to keep some sanity, he has labeled the rooms in his house as though it were a mini mall, so that he feels as though he's going places. So the kitchen is Sean's Deli. And Sean's Deli makes a mean hero. Puts a lot of meat in the hero, sometimes too much. Now they're out of meat. He says that downstairs, instead of the AMC theater, is the A. Mraz C. theater. He also has a little bit of a game room downstairs. I believe there's a knock hockey table, an air hockey table.
Yeah, air hockey, darts, and Papa Shot.
And that is called Danielle and Buster's. And the bedroom is the Holiday Inn. And the guest bedroom is called the cabin. No, cabin fever?
No, just the cabin. That's where I get away.
The cabin is where you get away, the guest room. And he has nicknamed all the parts of his house.
I got one more for
it. To make it feel like he is going and leaving and going somewhere. What are the other ones?
So the other one, I should have brought this up earlier because it's a CBS Sports Radio tie. This is really how bored I am. Shaving my head the other day in the bathroom, and I've nicknamed my bathroom the Tiki Barber Shop.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So the bathroom's the Tiki Barber Shop, and then also
that's where I get groomed.
Your back patio is what?
Just the patio lounge. The patio lounge. We got a fire pit. We got couches. That's where we go out for happy hour, congregate in nice weather. That's a big outdoor bar going on right now.
Patio lounge is the big outdoor bar right next to your house.
Right, and it's usually just Eli with a cup of water and me with a cone of big wave. That's the crowd. It's a small crowd. It's got to catch on.
And, well, you know, only essential services right now. And for where your workstation is in the basement. Our address at the CBS Sports Radio Studios is 345 Hudson Street. You have nicknamed your office what?
365 Hudson Street.
That's
365. Ironically, 365 Hudson and Danielle and Buster is very close to one another. Very close.
I'm all in on this idea. And like I said, I'm going to ask the Bourbon Belle if she wants to go through naming rights this weekend on the show. So, you know, we'll have to have bidding. How important is the office to you? How important is the bedroom for naming rights? How important is the guest room? How important is the deck? I want all of these things. I think this is a great idea to keep the sanity because, as you said, you tell Danielle, oh, I'm going to the patio lounge. I'll see you at 5 if you want to meet me there.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I'm going to go a little early for happy hour. If you happen to get at work early, want to catch me. They got great specials tonight. Buckets of leftover pumpkin ale since October.
And when you guys have movie night, you go to the A. Mraz Theater.
The A. Mraz Theater. You should see the concession stand. I've got Mike and Ike's hidden for days down there.
So I think this is great. And you tell Danielle, let's go see a movie at A. Mraz Theater.
We got the A. Mraz Theater. I think tonight we're doing some kind of showing of some movie she wanted to watch with Melissa McCarthy, I'm sure playing the same role she always plays. But that'll be showing at the A. Mraz Theater later on, absolutely.
Some kind of showing.
Yes.
Kind of
well,
showing.
Here's the thing.
You're going to hit play on a streaming.
Well, this is what this is where they would get. You know, Amaraz here is a little different than your typical United artist in that if you say the if you buy a ticket for, let's say, an 8 o'clock showing, the movie in theory could still start at 8:20, depending on when you get down there.
I love this. I think we should all adopt this. Do this in your house. Do this in your household. Make it feel as though you're actually leaving the house for other places by simply nicknaming them other things, like your kitchen could be Sean's Deli.
Yes.
Let's get to the headlines of the day with one Andrew Bogish. Bogues, good morning. Do you have any nicknames around your house?
No, not yet. I'm jealous that Sean has the ability to name a room that he can go to escape. If I try to make a place in this house where no one else is allowed to go except me, I'm not sure which one of my kids or my wife would punch me sooner.
Okay.
Because that's just not a thing.
Okay. Who owns, though, the kitchen? Is it you? Is it your wife?
No.
Is it the kids?
No, it's not. It's not mine. There's nothing in this house that's mine.
Okay, got it. Okay. You just rent.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to claim something at this point. I mean, I guess the TV that's – but even that, like, I mean, most times it's some kind of Pokemon show or a cooking show, or my kids now are in love with the – what's the right word? It's an American Ninja Warrior-like show that Tiki hosts on Netflix. It's called Beastmaster.
Wow.
And
I
they've
didn't
been watching
Tiki
it
did that
nonstop.
Too? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
I think that predates Man vs. Bear. I think that was the impetus for Man vs. Bear.
I see.
Was to also dip everyone's toe in the reality TV waters.
Wow, so you feel like you're a stranger in your own home at this point. You're basically just a guy at like an Econo Lodge.
Well, part of it is my shortcomings as a man, because if I knew how to use tools, no, I'm being honest, like if I could fix something or build something, I could maybe have like part of the garage is like, this is daddy's tool shed, but hammers are not my friend, so I've got nothing.
Just do it anyway.
So you can't cook, so you don't have the kitchen. You can't build anything, so you don't have the garage. You don't have any say over the TV, so you don't get the game room or the TV room. So you got nothing, basically.
I guess I have like a 6x6 concrete slab where my barbecue is, because I am the main griller. So I had got that, but that's based on the weather, too. So like right now it's windy and cold. That does me no good today.
But there you go. Bogus's barbecue pit.
I was going to say.
You know, it's only open
like,
to fair weather.
Kind of like Boog's Barbecue in Baltimore. You can have Bogue's Barbecue.
I did also used to have the garage fridge for my beers, but those have been overrun now by frozen beef that came in the mail yesterday. So I got nothing.
All right, well, at least own Bogue's Barbecue pick, okay?
Yes, and my nice little blue podcasting mic. I've got that as well. We can name that, I guess, right? So here are your headlines, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. So while Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch get credit for their year-long suspensions, no matter how long this baseball season is, Yankees reliever Zach Britton hopes they play a lot. But speaking yesterday on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM, Britton said safety first.
When it comes down to schedule, I know we're going to have those talks pretty soon, but at the end of the day, I mean, it doesn't matter until, you know, the virus gets under control and, you know, cities just and people are able just to go back to, you know, everyday life, let alone, you know, being able to go and watch baseball or us, you know, play baseball.
Britton also admitted they've explored 4 to 5 neutral sites in case some teams, like his Yankees, can't play in their home cities as the fight continues against coronavirus. Remember when the Chiefs had less than $200 of salary cap space?
Yes.
They've created about $5 million more by reportedly restructuring Sammy Watkins' contract. The wideout had the team's largest cap hit at roughly $13 million, but now his base salary drops to $9 million, another $7 million available through incentives. If he was to max all of that out, he'd end up making $50 million over the last three seasons in KC.
Oh, my goodness. For such an average receiver? Oh.
Yeah.
$50 million?
Back.
Oh, my God.
Now, again,
he's never made a Pro Bowl.
He's got to get the full $7 million incentives. But the deal was 3 for $48 million. And this is year 3. Oh. It's been reconfigured, and there's a little more money now left there to get. So, yeah, it could be 3 and $50 million. But I don't know what those incentives are, so maybe they're not all doable. But, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of money for Sammy Watkins to be useful. but nowhere near like elite in Kansas
City. Yeah, I mean, God bless the Chiefs because they won a Super Bowl with him. So no matter what they paid for him or the rest of the roster, it's all worth it. But this is a guy in his third team in 5 years, I think, or 6 years. He's never made a Pro Bowl. He's certainly not the most dangerous weapon the Chiefs have. That would be Tyreek Hill. And he's going to make $50 million. That's incredible.
Titans running back Derrick Henry has signed his $10.2 million franchise tag tender, but a long-term deal remains possible. The Jaguars said to be asking for a first-rounder and more for defensive end Yannick Ngakoue, who also has the franchise tag. The Raiders are no longer signing corner Eli Apple, but they now have a deal with former Packers safety Demarius Randall. The Bucs re-sign Blaine Gabbert to back up Tom Brady, and Tua Tagovailoa volunteered for a medical recheck with a doctor picked by NFL team physicians. Tua's camp said the results were great. All 32 clubs now have those results. This is all teams and prospects can do right now with in-person meetings.
Wouldn't
banned.
You love if Tua's camp said, you know what, worse than we expected?
Well, it's like boy, that hip didn't look so good. Says, yeah, Chris Sale had successful Tommy John surgery today. Like, I want the email to go, oops, wrong elbow. We'll get back to you next week.
Yeah, so how did Syndergaard's Tommy John go? Somebody clears the throat. we kind of hit the wrong nerve there, so he's going to be out
we
for 5 years.
We did DeGrom by accident. That were bad.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know. We looked at Tua's hip, and ooh, boy, is that a train wreck.
Yeah. Can we go back to Alabama? Is that still an option?
Yeah.
The NFL's chief medical officer, Alan Sills, says starting the season on time with fans depends on a lot of things, especially the widespread availability of coronavirus testing. The Ivy League will not change its rules, which prevent grad students from competing, so the NCAA's decision to give spring sports athletes another year of eligibility since they're not playing right now doesn't really apply to the Ivy League. Current seniors can withdraw from school right now and then resume their senior year in the fall, or they can transfer and play that final year somewhere else. And Michigan State strongly coming to the defense of Tom Izzo. Police records show that a student who witnessed an alleged sexual assault by one of Izzo's players was contacted by Izzo and two assistants before speaking with investigators. The student did say that those conversations didn't feel like they were trying to do or ask anything sketchy of him, but still, those phone calls could be a major Title IX violation. Spartans AD Bill Beekman calling this nothing more than an attempt to, quote, smear a coach, a program, and an entire university. That being said, Michigan State's doing a really good job by itself of smearing a program and an entire university with all of their issues, real or not. So maybe they want to be a little less defensive in these situations.
Wow, you're right. I mean, they have had so many public black eyes and really awful situations unfold over there. So what we're saying is that a student that may have witnessed a sexual assault or a domestic assault on campus was contacted not first by police, but contacted first by Tom Izzo?
Yeah, so this is a long-running story involving the player who was the alleged for groping a woman and a female student, groping her, trying to kiss her, and I think even trying to like kind of tackle her to the ground. And this has been a very debatable person around the Spartans, and because of there's at least one other off-field issue, so to speak, with him. But anyway, this night, this student was with the player, was a witness to part of the things that went down. And before he had a chance to speak to investigators, he got phone calls from Izzo and two assistants. Now, he volunteered this. Mm. He told this to police on his own. He also told the same story to a Title IX investigator later on. So this is not hearsay. He has volunteered this. But again, the caveat being he thought they were just like good-natured, how are you doing, are you okay calls, not like, hey, maybe say this or don't say that or say you weren't there.
Of course.
But either way, it looks terrible that they're calling not even the player, but the guy that was there to even hint at kind of tampering. It's just a bad decision.
That's a bad idea. That's a bad look. That's a bad optic. And like you said, for an athletic department that's been under such scrutiny for so many bad decisions, that feels like another one of them.
And now, last but not least, guys, sit back. And for the last time this week, be stunned.
A It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
All right, I got to admit, I'm starting to think that maybe we were too hard on those that hoarded toilet paper. Because
really?
It does remain hard to get. And what you can find isn't always
But it's
always
hard
nice.
To get because the people hoarded it.
Well, no. I mean, the shelves keep getting restocked and then ripped away again. So I do wish that at one point I had gone and bought like two or three real big, you know, the big wrapped rolls, like
right,
18 or 20, just to have. Because I'm okay now, but soon I'm going to have to venture back out to the store. And it remains hit or miss when there's actual toilet paper in the stores.
I agree. However, nobody is going to the bathroom more now. They're not producing less toilet paper now. It is only because people are hoarding and buying in bulk the toilet paper. And once, even if they have toilet paper, they swipe it off the shelves because out of fear that they will need it or it's not going to be available. If other stuff is still available, like you could probably buy, my guess is at most of our grocery stores, you can't buy TP, but you can buy, let's just say, dinner napkins. Well, it's the same production. People just don't think they're in a panic to get napkins. But it's just because of the panic of toilet paper, it's fed upon itself. If everybody would just buy it at its normal rate, it wouldn't be unavailable.
You're right, but DA, what you're also learning here is I think far more people are realizing they went number two at work a lot, and now work is home. So therefore, they are actually using a lot more than they normally would use.
Okay, well, but I mean, how often are you going number two at work? I can't imagine more than once a day. If you're doing it more than once a day, that's
Sean,
a problem.
Be careful.
Yeah. You're talking. I hit for the.
I know you're a volume shooter.
I am a volume shooter.
I realize you're Allen Iverson of going to the bathroom at work.
You know who saved on toilet paper during this? Our office.
Well, I bring this up because on top of it not being in stores, some of it's not even getting to stores. An 18-wheeler crashed and burned outside Dallas Wednesday morning, destroying almost all of the toilet paper in the back of that 18-wheeler. Now, the rolls were bound. They were the big industrial rolls. So they were going to restaurants, stores, other businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
But now they're all gone. So are they now going to buy a normal person's TP and make it even harder to get?
Okay, number one, the driver of the truck. Okay, that's important to note here.
Yes.
The truck caught on fire, burned to the ground, burned to the crisp. There is no toilet paper left, but the driver's okay, so we can joke about this. Number two, you know, speaking of number two, you should only, if you're a restaurant, buy those big rolls. And my guess is those restaurant rolls aren't a shortage, right? I mean, every restaurant is shut down these days. Those rolls should be available. That's the key here. We should find a way to get to restaurant supply chain and order the massive rolls. Those are the worst quality toilet paper, but at least it's something.
You might be left with some real problems if you're using that on an everyday basis and not for the quick hit and run inside an Applebee's. But losing these rolls, DA, it kind of reminds me when Bud Selig made the All-Star game count. You know, this time it counts.
Yeah.
This is how I feel like with this toilet paper going up. Like, normally maybe not a big deal. This time it counts.
Yeah, as thousands of Dallas Metro residents crawl out to the interstate and in black shawls start crying as they watch hundreds of rolls of toilet paper burn to a crisp.
This time it counts.
What a devastating moment for that community. I want to know which businesses or restaurants were getting this, because what business or restaurant is open right now in Dallas? If you knew, you'd probably run there to use the toilet paper.
But I would guess, I mean, a lot of these food places that are pumping out curbside, they go, their employees have to use a bathroom at some point.
True.
So that, I guess, would be, or supermarkets. Well, that's ironic, because if you're a supermarket, you run out of toilet paper, just crack open the roll of Scotch you're hiding from the employees. So maybe that's not the case. I don't know. Are they going to doctor's offices, hospitals, stuff like that? Do they need the toilet paper? Is that blowing up? Who knows?
Also, wouldn't it be great? I know it's terrible quality, but wouldn't it be great just to have one of these rolls? I mean, these are the size of spare tires. I mean, it's always been amazing to me that they could they can make toilet paper in that bulk just to have in your bathroom. So people come over like, wow, you know, now having toilet paper is a status of the rich because nobody can get it. So you know what? Hey, yeah, I got restaurant grade. I got like 7,000 rolls of toilet paper right here on my toilet floor.
And it could double, DA, because not only would you have that as a reserve toilet paper, you could also throw it over your shoulder and run that marathon like we had yesterday in the Stundoing News, and that becomes your workout. It's like carrying 15-pound weights on your shoulders. Throwing
it's
those
true.
Things over.
It's like the fire hose. Carrying up the hose.
Yeah, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly, yes.
Yeah, it could be a batting donut as well. I mean, you could really...
rotation device.
Seriously, it has so many uses.
Oh, it's great.
I could just imagine the panic and the fear. A truck, a tractor trailer toppled over. Oh, no. Is the driver okay? Yeah, he's okay. Oh, phew. What happened? Well, we lost 1,000 rolls of industrial-grade toilet paper. No! No! Save the toilet paper! Thank you, Andrew. When we come back, has everything flipped into a negative for sports in Boston? The latest Tom Brady story would suggest yes. Plus, I'm going to give you the two movies we're watching the next 2 weeks for the Mothership at the Movies. Get your popcorn ready so you can watch along with us. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Let's go tonight. Share a sponsor ride. Famous lights tonight.
We're gonna groove tonight. Little Wet, Little Drippy, 24-7. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's also an Ask the Pros day, so think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Remember, you can also binge watch Nomad this weekend, my digital travel series, as it took me around the globe. It has taken me around the globe for the last couple of years, traveling to sporting events and then eating and drinking everything in sight around said sporting events, local culture at its finest. Check it out. Just search My Name and Nomad on YouTube or My Name and Nomad on Google, and you'll find all 80 episodes available to binge watch for free. A happy Target demo Friday, so send us your Target demos, where you're at, how you're listening, via Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. So Tom Brady now has to find a new home. He has rented a new home in St. Pete. And look, things have flipped pretty dramatically in a poor fashion for Boston fans. Number one, of course, Tom Brady has left. Number two, they have lost a wild card playoff game for the first time in a decade. Feels like the dynasty is eroding. You also have the Red Sox selling off Mookie Betts. You also have the Celtics and the Bruins, who are in the middle of very promising potential playoff runs. The Bruins, the best team in the Eastern Conference, in the NHL, having their postseasons postponed, perhaps even canceled. And in Boston, another salt added to the wound as Brady is renting Derek Jeter's old mansion. Derek Jeter's mansion is where Brady is going to be renting. So, boy, just think about this. Boston fan had everything go his way or her way for 20 years. Everything, and now in one fell swoop, it's all over. And now Brady not only is leaving, is in Jeter's house. Brady has to rent Jeter's house. And you want obnoxious in the middle of everybody belt-tightening financially around this country. If you go and you are shopping for a home, you get 2,000 square feet, that's a nice-size home, right? Boy, that's really nice. 3,000 square feet? Oh, boy, that's a huge house. 4,000 square feet? What do you even do with 4,000 square feet? If you are talking about 5,000 or 6,000 square feet, that's a mansion. Tom Brady is renting this house 30,000 square feet. It has 7 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, an entertainment room, its own billiards room, a wraparound pool with 2 boat lifts. It sits on a canal on Davis Island, just off the shore of St. Pete. It is estimated at about $14 million. So you're talking about major, major cash. What would it cost? some, the Tampa Bay Times included, thinking that it's going to cost Brady and Giselle $75,000 a month to rent this. $75,000 a month. Now, you could afford it if you make $25 million a year. Mraz, how obnoxious is paying $75,000 a month for Jeter's mansion for 30,000 square feet?
Just buy some property, you cheapo. Come on.
He's only going to be there 2 years.
Buy the property. Stop it.
How obnoxious. When we come back, Jerry McNamara, the memories of March and the 2003 Syracuse National Champions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.